Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 2 of A New Challenger Approaches. I am your host, Andrew.
And I'm Anitra.
And we are here, and we are super excited to be here making episode number 2 for you, because we released episode number 1 a couple of days ago.
And people like it.
And people like it. Crazy. People were laughing, and they were sort of like live commenting while they were listening to the show, which was kind of exciting, so we were a big fan of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so here we're here again, and we're gonna have we have a new topic this week.
Yes,
and it's gonna be a little bit different than last week, because we don't want to just like
we don't want to do the same thing every week. That'd be kind of boring. We don't have enough to review board games every week without eventually we'd run out of board games to review.
So we're gonna talk about something a little bit different. Do you want to tell our lovely listeners what we're gonna talk about
tonight? Sure. We're gonna leave behind a little bit the topic of board games and talk about video games.
Yep. And you know, when are good times to choose board games over video games, or
right,
or when are good times to choose video games over board games, and how do you
pros
allow
and cons
your, yeah, exactly, how do you balance allow your children to become a video game players without, you know, ending up with a 13-year-old Call of Duty master?
Oh my goodness.
And you know, how do you balance those things, and what kinds of things can you do to make it not seem like all you're doing is putting the reins on your kid and saying, no, you can't play games, no, you can't play games, no, you can't play, you know,
right, those, exactly,
those kind of things. So what can you do about that? And here's a hint. A big part of that is, you know,
being involved yourself.
And well, that's a big thing about board games. You usually can't play with just one person.
Usually.
Although there's plenty of solo variants of lots of great games. And so
and,
I don't
want to. And each of our children do try.
Yes, they do.
But yeah. But first, we're going to talk about what we did this week.
Yeah, we played some games this week.
We did. Did we? We did.
Yeah, so we had our regularly scheduled game night, and we played a game called Cabaret. Cabaret just finished on Kickstarter yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you're listening very carefully, you can figure out when we're recording this show.
Cabaret was a neat game.
You liked it?
Yeah. Oh, it was way more interesting with more people.
Uh-huh.
Because Andrew and I had played it, just the two of us, a little bit earlier, and it was okay with two players, but it definitely shines with three or more.
So Cabaret is a trick taking game. You think of a game like Hearts. Hearts is a trick taking game where you're trying
to win, or bridge,
ooh, or whatever, where you're trying to win tricks, and then you know you score based on suits and stuff like that. So in Cabaret, each person is a different performer.
Yeah.
Basically they're suits.
Yeah.
But you're
you each own a suit.
You each own a different performer. I always choose the magic guy who's green, because hey, why not? He looks kind of cool.
I like the singer.
Yep. And then there's different kinds of dancers and all this stuff. And basically what you do is you have a hand and you're trying to win tricks, but specifically you are trying to win tricks where there is a high point value card for your performer or your suit, because each player can only play a card if that performer has not already been played.
Yeah, so it's got
so
a
it's
couple.
It's kind of like the opposite of Hearts, where you're supposed to stay
in
the suit.
Yeah, it's got a couple interesting twists from other trick taking games I've played, which made it really interesting.
You start with a couple of mime cards, and if you can't play a suit that hasn't been played yet, then you play a mime card. And then the scoring is actually not the numbers 1 through 12, which are on the cards, which is what you use to determine whether you're taking a trick or not. But the scoring is done with these white stars that are on all the cards, except for the 11 and the 12.
Yeah. The 10? No, just the 11 and the 12. The 11 and the 12, you have black stars.
Right,
and
they
bring your point value down. So
you'll win those tricks.
You want to win the cards that are in your color or in your performer type, except when the card is an 11 or 12. When you see one of those go by, you're like, no, you folks, please, somebody else win this hand.
Right.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting about the mechanics was how ties work. In a lot of other games, especially trick-taking games, you know, you have ties occasionally, and you have to work out, okay, is it the first person who played the number, or is it the second person who played the number, or do you set aside the hand and do another hand, and then, you know, winner takes all. This is the only trick-taking game I've seen where ties are settled by, oh, there's a tie, neither one of you gets it, it's the next highest number. Right.
Well, I mean, in a game like Hearts, there are no ties because
the different suits have values.
And then if you play a different suit, then you just automatically lose, basically. But So anyway, yeah, we really liked Cabaret a lot. We had fun with it, and it
was a very different kind of game from the sorts of games we normally play.
Yeah,
as
it was much
well.
More casual. It was almost like a filler game because it played very quickly.
Yeah, sort of.
And so yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
It made me think of other trick taking games that now I'm starting to have the itch to go play again. So.
Like Wizard. Wizard's a good trick.
It is.
I like that because you have to bet.
Yeah.
It's a good game. So Cabaret did reach its Kickstarter goal.
Oh, good.
So it's going to get printed.
Highly recommended.
At least for those people. We like it very much. If you go to themarriedgamers.net, there's a little written up review. You can see, I think I put one or maybe two pictures of cards on there so you can see what they look like. Or you can just Google Cabaret on Kickstarter and you'll find it. Congratulations to them.
That's not the only game we played this week.
We also played something a little heavier. We played Alhambra.
Alhambra was cool. Let's rein in the description on this one a little bit. It needs less because it's out there already as a published game.
Right.
Alhambra, you and everyone else are competing to build
the nicest garden.
Basically the nicest garden.
And when we say garden, we don't mean like you got some petunias and a couple of, you know, like
no, we mean like formal like garden.
Formal like
with
Middle Eastern
Alhambra.
I don't even know
Middle Eastern theme. And it's interesting because it's sort of a resource competition, but at the same time, you're sometimes there's certain resources, you know, garden pieces that you can't use because they're just not going to fit.
Right.
And it's, you know, the scoring is a combination of who has the most in any one color, and how long the walls are around your garden and things like that. The whole color mechanic with the scoring got very interesting because it's way more to your advantage to take a lower scoring color and be the undisputed champion of that color.
Right. So
then
so
to end up tying for a much higher scoring color, because I did that a few times. Every color I had, I wasn't the straight out winner on any of them. I was tying with other players, and when you do that, you split the points. So
right.
You're still getting good points, but not as many points as somebody else who's the undisputed winner.
It's a pretty interesting game, and it seemed like the point accumulation was very slow to get going in the beginning, and then
all of
a sudden, like once you hit, you know, between the second and third point scoring,
it was already ramping up before we got to the second scoring round. But once the second scoring round happened, then everybody was like, oh my goodness, I need to get the points. I need to be ready because once you hit the third scoring round, the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, the big things that stood out to me about that were the nature of ties, and in this case, you really don't want to tie. I mean, it's okay, but you'd much rather find a way to eke out a dominating role.
Right.
And the randomization that, you know, you could end up with all the available resources on the board are ones that you can't actually use.
Mm-hmm.
Or that nobody has the correct money to buy any of the resources that are out there, which that can slow it down a little bit. But also the randomization of when rounds are done and you score. This is one of the only games I've played where it's, you know, all of a sudden, like, you're playing. Oh, look! Now it's time to score. Which was, it definitely added an interesting aspect of I'm not sure if I want to say fun. But sort
well,
of craziness.
I mean, it's a game kind of, a little bit like Dominion or Race for the Galaxy in the sense that you're kind of playing against other people, but like kind of you're playing your own game.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you're just trying to get your highest score with what you've got. And
what's kind of available. I mean, there's kind of a common pool of what's available and stuff like that. But
yeah,
It's almost like you're in a race.
Well, it's definitely a Euro game in that style.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see what else.
That's still not all we played.
Well, did you play anything else?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I had some dedicated video game time.
What?
With our middle child.
Oh.
It was very sweet.
What did you play?
We played Well, one of the things we played was Wii Music, which is less of a game and more of a open play world sort of
open
thing.
Disaster.
It wasn't a disaster.
Well, not your particular iteration, but the game
enjoyed it
implementation
a lot.
In general.
And now he got his older sister into playing it too. So that's been interesting. And we played another video game, and I am having trouble remembering what it was.
Well, it was clearly meaningful. While you were doing that, I was taking our little one out, our oldest, because we had a little daddy-daughter date, and we are working on making our own game.
Yeah, she's super excited.
She's super excited about it until we have to make hard
decisions.
Until
there's actually work. Yeah.
And then she doesn't want to do it anymore. But stay tuned. There will be the Family Gamers published game in the probably more distant than I would care to admit future. So that should be
fun. Stay tuned, maybe in a year or so.
Yep. I also went to my friend's house and played what is colloquially known as the perfect game.
Yeah, says you.
Which is
and
the game
him.
Of diplomacy.
Yeah.
It's a game with no luck. It's all about negotiation. It is a beautiful game.
I believe you.
You have no interest in ever playing.
I have
playing.
No interest in playing.
All right. Well, there are plenty of resources online about diplomacy. So I highly recommend you look and see what many, many smarter people than I have said about it. It is great. So, that's pretty much what we've done this week. We're also playing the strip all the wallpaper in the house game because we're trying
Yay!
To sell our house. So that's pretty awesome. So if you know anybody who wants to buy a house in Central Massachusetts, just let us know. And I think with that, you know, before we get into our topic, let's take a quick break.
Let's take a break.
We're going to talk tonight about board games and video games.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, well, we said we would, and here we are. So I'm going to ask you a question. Which one do you like better, board games, video games?
Depends on my mood.
Depends on your mood. Really? Well, that's interesting. Also, it depends on...
Also depends on if I want people to leave me alone or not.
Yeah, well, that's your mood.
Yeah. But that's kind of outside my mood too. It's like there's the overall like I feel like playing a video game, I feel like playing a board game, and there's other times where I'm like, stay away from me, everyone. I just want to crawl up with a screen and shut out the world.
So really we're talking about board games and video games in the context of family stuff, family life, those kinds of things. And we mentioned Rocket League last week.
Yep.
So that's a game that I really enjoy, and the kids really enjoy. And
one, and earlier this evening, we already mentioned a bunch of Nintendo titles specifically.
Yep. Yeah, they're certainly very handy for
the
kid-aged crowd.
Yeah.
But really, you know, without getting too deeply into a discussion about screen time and those kinds of things, because I think that we're going to save that topic for it's going to have its own show. You know, we wanted to talk about how do we balance those two in our lives? How do we allow our kids to play video games and really even encourage our kids to play video games without it becoming this thing sort of like in the 90s where everybody, you know, came home from school and watched TV for 4 hours until dinner time and then they did their homework and whatever. So how do you encourage this habit without letting it grow in excess? And on the flip side of that, you know, how do you not let it become something where
you're just always saying no.
Yeah, where you're always saying no, and it's this big thing that you're restricting all the time, and, you know, your kids are getting frustrated because that's all they want to do. And, you know, there's something about not being able to do something that makes you want to do it even more. And
we don't want to create a 13-year-old video game addict,
right?
Which either approach of letting them play all the time or never letting them play, either approach can end up that way,
right? Because you don't want video games to just be escapism,
right?
Like from your parents,
right?
But you know, along with that, like on the flip side of that is board gaming, and and how do we encourage board gaming, and what are the pluses and minuses of that versus this other stuff, and what do we do with these two hobbies, and how do we introduce both of them to our kids? You know, with the reality that, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom, and so you've got all sorts of stuff to do around the house all the time, and
oh, yeah.
And I work all day,
and don't discount the fact that we have a baby turning toddler as well, and that really does factor into my decisions about what kind of games are appropriate at what time in what context.
Little pieces and all those kinds of things.
So I guess we'll start there since I just brought it up. With board games, you have little pieces, and our children for their ages are actually super good about keeping track of all the pieces, but they are still small children and things do get lost. And I don't want our baby to find them and try to eat them or chew on them or right. whatever. On the flip side, our kids like video games too, and we like video games, but the most popular place to sit and play video games is the area where the toddler is most often. Mm-hmm. And so he'll come and try to grab controllers, and then everybody gets frustrated.
You know how many times I died today, by the way, playing Zelda?
I'm going to guess a lot.
Every time it was because our one-year-old grabbed the Wii U pad every single time. Anyway,
it's the way of life.
But yeah, I mean, so the difficulty on the board game side is that usually you need more than one person. And if it's a game that's a little bit more advanced, because we like the idea of pushing our kids to do, you know, things that are more advanced because it helps them learn.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if I, you know, come home or come upstairs because I work in the basement from a long day at work, I might be, you know, too tired or whatever to play a game. So how do we balance all this stuff out where, you know, we get our kids clamoring for board games, but then we're, you know, not really available to be able to do those things.
Right.
Or the flip side where they don't want to talk to us because they're too busy playing board games and stuff like that. So really that's kind of what we're trying to get to is the meat of this sort of issue of like, how does this stuff work? What do you do?
So I think, for me during the day when you're not around, I'm generally of the opinion that if our older two kids, the 4-year-old and the 6-year-old, want to play a game together that is age appropriate for them, so not something that requires lots of reading or complex rules, but something that the 4-year-old can understand, as long as they can do it in a responsible way, not losing little pieces, whatever, I'm all for it. Go play. Keep it away from the baby.
So throw out a couple examples of some games that we have that, you know, maybe there's people out there who have a couple of kids are in that age range.
So it really ranges from the really simple shoots and ladders, Candyland, which I already mentioned last week, I will not play. But if my children want to play it together, that's fine.
The face diving game?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Okay.
Shoots and ladders, Cootie, Break the Ice, those are all simple type ones.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly more complex is a game that I love called Bug Trails, although they won't usually play that one without me.
Isn't that kind of like a domino?
It's basically dominoes, but it's six-sided, and it's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Anything made by Habba.
Right, so we have the stick game.
Yes, which is Zitternix.
Zitternix, yep.
And then let's see, a lot of Game Right games, Chef Poptipop would probably be good with both of them, although
there's a little bit of too much reading in that, I think.
No, it's not the reading. There's a little bit of speed play in there, okay. which needs a parent to mitigate.
Mm-hmm.
There is, Take the Cake, which is another Game Right game. Honestly, they play Uno together. They play Sorry. It's stuff, there's stuff that you would think of as a typical kids game, but it also ranges up into the simpler sort of all ages games.
And I mean, and these are the things where, you know, some a lot of the games at that
Oh, and Pyramix, like we mentioned last week.
A lot of the games at that age level are there's no strategy involved, right? It's basically luck. You roll a die, you move some squares. Like, that's how Chutes and Ladders
works. Well, the American style ones, mm-hmm. yes. But the more European style ones, of which I would even include things like Game Rights, Take the Cake has a huge element of chance, but there is a little bit of strategy involved too. And so it's one of those things where if you have strategy, you're more likely to win. But if you don't have any strategy, you'll still make enough progress to feel like you're doing something.
Right. And that's kind of what I was getting to, was as kids get older, the games by the nature of the games will begin to introduce a little bit more of that strategy. And so, you know, if you are a gamer and you've got a 2-year-old and you're looking forward to in 10 years being able to play games with them, then there's
suck it up and deal with Chutes and Ladders and
yes,
candy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. My point. I mean, you need to take time out to be bored out of your skull and play these games that have a high probability of chance for a couple of reasons. Number one, if it's all chance, then your kid's going to win sometimes, and that's going to make them feel good. And number two, as that chance begins to kind of fall off and strategy begins to introduce itself into these games as you move up and you get more complicated games and things like that, that's going to engender interest, mm-hmm. first of all. And also, you're not dropping a 13-year-old into Terra Mystica and saying, you know, go at it, which pretty much would, I mean, I don't think you'd even want to play that game. So
probably not.
So there's a huge part of this video game, board game thing where investing that time as a parent is really important, because, you know, if you want that social and gaming engagement, you know, then you have to do it at that lower level. And the other thing about this,
I think the same thing comes
huge,
up with video games.
Well, and that's what I'm going to touch on. Another thing about this that's huge is with a board game, the social aspect of the board game is that you have a bunch of people sitting around a table and they're playing a board game, right?
Yeah, it's built in with a board game.
In our world now, social gaming, video game wise, is also built in. But there is a huge level of concern with the types of people that your kids might be playing with online.
Right.
I don't want to get into a big oh my gosh, you know, this person's a sexual predator kind of thing or whatever. But I go online and
jerky 13-year-olds and
I play two
language.
Games when I go online. Whatever game I'm actually playing, and how fast can I mute everybody in my lobby? Because the people that play games, a lot of them are just crass and vulgar and rude and annoying, and I don't want to expose my kids to that kind of junk. And so there's a level of social management that comes with putting a board game on the table as well. And look, invite all your friends over. I mean, one of the things that I look towards is this idea where our house is the cool place to go hang out, right? Because that way I can kind of keep an eye on my kids. But I don't want to dissuade my children from playing video games either.
Yeah.
And so I think for us, you know, there is the reality that sometimes we need to get stuff done, and we can be like, you know what? Why don't you go have some screen time?
Oh, yeah.
Play a game. You'd be all set.
Well, it's funny for me. I want to save most of my screen time issues for another time. But it's interesting for me to look at how we've changed over the last, say, 4 years. Because 4 years ago, we had a 2.5-year-old and a baby. Mm-hmm. And at that point, screen time was pretty much always here, watch a TV show.
You know, we'll sit with you.
We might sit with them to try to do something video game related. But at that point, screen time, especially if it was the, you know, I need a babysitter for 10 minutes so I can go take a shower, it was always going to be a TV show. Mm-hmm. Now, with a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old and a baby, sometimes it's TV. Although it's actually way more likely that if somebody's sitting down for a TV show, we've turned that into a more social experience. Mm-hmm. If they're doing something without mom and dad, with screen time, it's more likely to be a video game that both of them can play at the same time. The 6-year-old has some games she really would prefer to play on her own, and especially during summer vacation, she gets a little bit more leniency to do that. But for the most part, most of the video games that get played in this house between wake up time and the kids' bedtime at night are all played multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And I will say there is a wealth of good games out there that allow for multiple players, at least in some incarnation. Unlike when we were kids, when most multiplayer was, I'm going to sit here and watch you and wait for my turn.
Yeah.
I say that, especially thinking of, I didn't have a console when I was growing up, and so I played video games at my best friend's house.
So you switched on death, and you lasted about 5 seconds.
Right. I saw the first three levels of Mario a million times, and I mostly only watched the rest of the levels. Because she would play and play and play and play.
Well, that explains a lot.
And I would die a lot. It's also why I really like Luigi. but in our house, I mean, most of the time, if they're going to say, hey, let's play a video game, it's let's play Super Smash Brothers, which is sort of the video game version of what we were just talking about earlier with board games. Super Smash Brothers, there's a lot of chance and button mashing. There's skill. You can play it with a lot of skill.
There are people yelling at the at the
You can
their iPod
play it
right
with
now.
A lot of skill.
Okay. All
right. You can. But skill matters less than you'd think.
With kids.
With kids.
I'll give you that.
Skill matters, but it matters less than you'd think. You know, there's also stuff like Mario Kart, which gets played a lot in our house, and let's see. What do we say? Mario Baseball, which mm-hmm. is actually Super Mario Sluggers.
Super Mario Wii Sluggers.
And I know there are others, but those are the big three, really. Baseball, hitting each other, and racing. The interesting thing for me is that it also, even in this sort of context, you see the difference in personalities with kids that our oldest, who will certainly beat up her brother both virtually and in person, spends a lot of her time on a video game customizing everything, making characters, making levels, making everything, which is, as I have been told, a typically pretty girly thing. I am
not. Do you do that?
Not no, very much.
Neither
no. I like it enough to you know, basically I'll go as far as customizing a few things, but I'm not going to build stuff from scratch in a video game. If I'm playing a video game, I want to go play.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go do stuff. But yeah, so I think our kids are pretty good for the most part on, they certainly love video games, and board games. So they've certainly gotten that from us. But I think they're pretty good overall at seeking each other out to find someone to play with.
Right.
And not just playing by themselves.
So, I mean, we have a luxury now in that exact thing where we can sort of pit them against each other in a video game, in a board game, in whatever. I don't
discount the fact I get a lot of, Mom, won't you play with me?
Right. And so, and that's kind of where I was going with this, was like, what about people who only have one kid, or maybe you have
a big age gap or something.
Two kids that are in school and you have a 3-year-old at home or a 4-year-old at home or something like that. Or, you know, how does that get managed? Because, you know, you don't want to park them in front of a screen all day long. You want them to be able to do other things. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about things like directed play later. But, you know, maybe they're not so into sitting there with a book and looking at stuff or those kinds of things.
So I can look at this a little bit from the other side of the equation first, because I'm an only child.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time playing by myself as a kid. And honestly, I don't remember playing many board games with my parents unless it was a special occasion, up until I was about 11 or 12 years old, which mm-hmm. is basically when my mom decided, oh, hey, you can actually play the kinds of games I'm interested in.
Well, and that's what we were talking about before.
Right.
We kind of want to try to avoid that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we're talking about raising gamers, right?
Right, right. Well, but, you know, so my experience was I did a lot of what our middle child likes to do, which is take a board game designed for multiple players And I would just go off and kind of work through it by myself and tweak the rules a little bit so I could play it by myself. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a perfectly fine thing for a kid to do because it helps them to internalize the rules and and some of the strategy. Although they don't get a really good grasp of strategy until they can play it a lot against somebody else.
Right.
So I think if you're in a situation where, for whatever reason, your child is the only child in an atmosphere, of board gaming, you need to be a little bit more intentional about saying, hey, let me sit down and play this through with you or help you with the rules or even, hey, what about your friend down the street? I bet she would love to play this game. You know, maybe the next time she comes over, we can remember that and say, hey, why don't you guys try playing this game together?
Sure.
'Cause I remember that as a kid too. I did a lot of, you know, hey, if you guys are coming to my house, let's play these games.
Right.
Which I didn't do too much at other people's houses. And I think the same thing pretty much holds true with video games. If you've only got one kid in an atmosphere, in an environment, that you need to be pretty on top of what they're doing with the video gaming, whether it's a little kid, bigger kid, whatever. I think I've heard the recommendation and I am very on board with having screens, especially for game playing, be in a relatively public place.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they know what they're doing, you want to know what they're doing too.
Right. So, all right. Well, I mean, I hope you got something out of that.
It was a little rambly.
A little rambly. But mostly sat here and watched my wife work the microphone.
But those are our awesome thoughts, and I'm sure we'll talk about these things again more.
Definitely. But for now, I think it's pretty much time to wrap up the show. These things go quick, huh?
I think we went a little long.
I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be all right. But thank you very much for taking some time out to listen to us. As I mentioned, we just published our first episode a couple days ago, but we don't have any iTunes reviews yet.
Oh, hey, do we have do we have something we could give away?
Not yet. We need some iTunes reviews.
We need reviews before we can give something away.
Yes, we need to be able to know that there's people out there. We need feedback. Feedback. Yeah. So
and not the awful screechy kind either.
Yeah. Oh, that would be bad. But yeah. So please leave us a review on iTunes. I guess that's pretty much the only place.
We want you to leave us a review on iTunes. But if you can't or you don't want to for whatever reason, drop us a comment on our blog page.
Yeah, it's not very pretty yet, but it's getting there. You can go to thefamilygaming.com.
It's functional.
It's function. It exists.
Functional
you can
is good.
Comment on
pretty
it.
Comes later.
If you want to get in touch with me directly, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com will work. You can email Anitra at Anitra, A-N-I-T-R-A, @thefamilygamers.com. And let us know what you think, what you like, what you don't like, what you hate, what you love. And I think
we're just getting started out. So we will take your feedback very seriously. If you think something
doesn't... Yeah, it's the only feedback we'll get. So
if you think something doesn't work, let us know.
Yeah. So what do you want to like? Maybe 5 reviews we'll give something away?
That sounds good.
Yeah, so...
That's a good starting place.
5 iTunes reviews and then we'll give something away. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right, that works. So get cracking, guys. And until next week, play games with your kids, guys.
Play games with your kids.
When Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, they must have killed that thing. Well, the leaves started falling, the snake started crawling. Must have given her a diamond ring. Eve said, Adam, go sleep in the crib. Adam said, Eve, I'm going to sleep in my rib. When Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden.